Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these words be yours and blessed. Amen. Answering a question with a question. There's a lot of that going on in the bantering between Jesus and Pilate in that short snippet of the gospel lesson I just read. And it does make sense, because after all, the Nazarene is being sentenced to death, and the governor has to interrogate him. Jesus responds to every single question he's asked, except one, the last one. Pilate asks, "What is truth?" And Jesus says nothing. I figure Pilate waited for a moment just to see what he might say, for an answer, for words. But the prisoner is silent. Jesus doesn't say a blessed thing, or perhaps his not saying a thing was blessed. Whatever, Pilate goes his way, and Jesus goes his. The Roman governor washes his hands. The Savior of the world extends his to have nails driven through them. And the question remains unanswered. At least unanswered in words. What is truth? Truth is, this gospel lesson should be for Good Friday, not the Sunday before Thanksgiving. What is truth? We still ask that same question today about so many things in our world, and we still don't know. Is there a viable strategy with dealing with ISIS? Whatever happened to Malaysian Flight 370? Is there evidence for global warming? Can you really get down with Crestor? And after the replay, when the referee turns to the cameras and says, "The play stands," does that really mean that it shouldn't? We want the truth. But the truth can be so elusive. The problem isn't just trying to sort out between the lies and the deceptions. The problem is that even what we take as truth isn't always true. The truth can be contingent. Tell me the truth, Doc. How long do I got? Well, there's no sign of the cancer anymore. You should live a long and healthy life. And the guy jubilantly walks out of the door of the doctor's office and gets run over by a bus. The truth can be variable. Tell me the truth. Is this a good investment? Sure it is. Just look, the stock market has a history of going up and up and up through the years. And then, some unexplainable panic in an Asian town you can't even pronounce wipes out your nest egg in a week. Or the truth can be misleading. Tell me the truth, dear. How do I look in this dress? That's a lovely color on you. We want the truth. At least we think we do. We say we do. But we don't often get it. Or the truth changes. Or the truth deceives us. What is truth? We want an answer. And we want an answer in words. And that's precisely what we don't get in the gospel lesson. Jesus doesn't give either us or Pilate any words. Not one. He doesn't take this opportunity to spout off another parable or to utter one of those I am statements to get everybody all hot and bothered. He just stands there in silence. Because truth, in this instance especially, truth is more than just words. Words don't even come close. The truth is, this is God standing before some minor governmental flunky who thinks he holds the power of life and death. The truth is, this is love incarnate that's been whipped and taunted and rejected by the very people he came to save. The truth is, this is the Logos, the Word, through whom the entire world was made, suffering in silence. The truth is, this is the Lord of life, who in a matter of hours will be crucified, dead, and buried in a borrowed tomb. And the truth is, what burst forth from that same tomb 3 days later? The gospel is truth. But how often, still, we try to boil it down to mere words. Words in the Bible, words in the hymnal, words in the Augsburg Confession, memorized prayers or formulaic responses. Words that we're always at a loss to for when those Jehovah's Witness people show up on our doorstep. Words that we wish we could summon forth to help a friend who's mourning. Words that we feel we need to defend ourselves, to explain what we believe, to describe the hope within us. Words. We get so caught up in words. And I hear it over and over again. Pastor, I just never know what to say. And that may indeed be true. But it's not the truth. The truth does not lie in words. Truth isn't knowing what to say. Truth is knowing what to be. Now, sure, a particular truth can be expressed in words. Love is better than hate. Life is better than death. Light travels faster than sound. Seatbelts save lives. The Kansas City Royals won the pennant. But truth with a capital T, cannot be stated. Truth simply is. It's multidimensional, it's all-encompassing, it's silent and waiting, evolving and transforming, and unlike words, truth does not deceive. Jesus embodied that truth with a capital T. That's why his silence before Pilate is overwhelming in its elements. It's so easy for us to be like Pilate today. Just walk away. Turn our back to the truth. Not recognize it. Not embrace it. Not accept it. Even if we know we've been listening for it. It's true, we say, it's just too unbelievable. It's true, we say, it's just too demanding. It's true, we say, but it's too complicated. Or it's too simple. It's true. But it's not true yet. It belongs to that kingdom, not of this world, which means we don't got it. And because we don't like that aspect of truth, we assume that we're always going to be deceived. And we live with that. We're accustomed to partial truths, half truths, truths of the moment. We're a society of sound bites and spin doctors and slanted journalism and virtual reality. We are so aware of the deceptive nature of words that we stop believing really in anything at all. Especially the truth. Aziz Ansari, stand-up comedian, has this part of his routine that I really like. He goes to these audiences, and mostly young people, and he talks about modern communication, and how we're all really psyched up in a texting. And so he frames the question to all his audience. He says, all right, tell me, you got some guy that keeps on trying to hook up, to get out, go out with you with texting you. What do you do if you don't want that to happen? Do you, one, always say you're busy? And he asks for a smattering of money. Do you ignore it? Just pretend it'll go away and respond in silence and get some good wowsing response. Or do you tell him the truth? And maybe like one person in the back clapped. And he says, why is that? Because that's our natural response. And then he flips the question around. If you're that guy texting over and over again trying to get a date, what would you prepare? Would you prefer the person to say they're always busy? Would you prefer them not to respond at all? Or would you want them to be honest? And overwhelmingly, everybody wants to be the other person to be honest with them, even though they won't be honest. Is that? It's because truth is so hard for us to do. And also maybe because deep down, like I said, we don't really want the truth at all. We're so used to the lies, we've actually grown to prefer them. What is truth? I just wondered, been like if Pilate had recognized Jesus for who he was at that moment? If right before he turned around to speak to the crowd and pronounce his punishment, he stopped and took a good look at this whipped and beaten man in front of him and saw vividly in that moment that this was the truth that he was only half listening for. His heart misses a beat. His sardonic reply gets caught in his throat, and he finds himself almost unbidden running to this man, throwing himself at his feet and saying, as opposed to some unnamed centurion, "This is the Son of God." He was still crucified. He'd still leave him out there on the cross, because like John the Baptist found out early on in Jesus' ministry, he says, you should be condemning me to death. And Jesus says, no, let's just do this for righteousness. Obviously, that didn't happen. Pilate was too blind, too arrogant, too spineless, too mired in his worldly perspective to see the truth, even though it was standing right there in front of him. To him, it was simply silence. What is truth? Am I making sense? Do you see what understand what I'm getting at? What Jesus meant by not answering at that moment? Well, let me give you one more image. A toddler, very sick. Humongous fever, 104, coughing, sore throat, crying, and her mom and dad sitting up all night by her bedside, comforting her, stroking her hair, saying over and over again, "Everything will be all right." The truth is not in those words. The truth is in their presence, in their being there, in the waiting, and the watching, and the hoping, and the praying, and wishing that they could actually exchange places. And the truth is that Christ is present in those moments too. Those most helpless of moments. That his being there, his always being there, not only makes all the difference in the world, but all the difference in that kingdom still to come. However events unfold in your lives, don't let his silence fool you. What is truth? The truth is, no matter what we ever face, Christ is with us. He is present. His suffering is our suffering. He is silent but sure, unseen but true, loving and suffering and triumphant. He is there with us always. That is truth. The gospel. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the life everlasting.